Okay, well, hello again, everyone. Now, we've been planning our assembly for Hallam Primary School tomorrow, and we've chosen to do the story of creation with the children, getting them to act out being growing things and flying things, swimming things and crawling, climbing things that God made in creation. And it reminds me that God brought all these plants, all these creatures into being by speaking. He spoke, he commanded, and amazing things came to pass. There is a power in the words, the commands of God. Where God speaks, change happens. And God uses that same voice to speak to us today. Today's the last in our discipleship series, and I want to talk to you about supernatural conversation with God. It doesn't matter how messed up you may be. I mean, look around you. But if you can relate to God and he can relate to you, then you can begin to have a conversation. Then he instructs you, he encourages you, he inspires you, and he expresses affection to you. And it's in conversation with the Lord that so many things happen. So often we read in the Bible that God speaks supernaturally to someone, and then they do lots of wonderful things. In every great story, every leap forward in the people of God, God speaks to someone, that person hears, and they respond, and interesting things happen. That's the pattern that Scriptures establish for us. So if you want to be a person who follows the Scriptures, then that's a great pattern for your life, to hear the voice of the Lord. And then interesting things happen when you hear and respond. Conversation is the heart of any relationship. I know this because my wife Mandy keeps reminding me about it. The same is true of the Lord. We speak to him. How many people here pray? Hopefully, most people here. And part of that prayer should be listening to the voice of God. Conversation is the heart of relationship, as guidance is the engine of obedience. When the Lord speaks to you, gives you guidance, tells you to do something, and you follow through with that, then suddenly, boom, discipleship, life change. That's what it is. There's everything that we need in God's written word. There's so much in Scripture in the Bible to follow. This is the foundation of my life, as I'm sure it is of yours too. But the particular shaping of my life, the form and direction that it has and continues to take, has benefited from hearing the here and now prophetic voice of the Lord. What I do, where I lead, what we prioritize as a family, where we go, these are all guided by hearing the supernatural voice of God. He's a living God. It's a living conversation. The foundation of my life is the unchanging truths and commands of Scripture. The shaping of that life, the daily priorities, much of that is shaped by hearing from God. That makes our lives unique and interesting. So that's what I want to talk about today. If we can hear and discern, remember the little example we had before, if we can hear and discern the voice of the Lord, not just for our own lives, but together for the life of the church, then that will be amazing. When we use the word prophecy, lots of thoughts come up. We think about the Old Testament prophets, don't we? But prophecy today is a little different from those Old Testament times. Back in those days, there were pretty strict rules about prophesying. Back in the day when the Holy Spirit would just make cameo appearances resting on certain individuals in each generation, only a certain number of people could get revelation from the Lord. And the command of the Lord was that if someone stood up and gave a prophetic word in Israel, and the word turned out to be mistaken or false, then the Israelites had to stone that person, to kill that person. That is pretty tight editorial control. But it had to be that way because not everyone had access to the Holy Spirit. They didn't have that whole written scriptural backstop that you and I have that could check a word that somebody had against the scripture, because they didn't have those thousands of years of scripture and scriptural history written down for them. People were going to be guided by these words of prophecy, and so they had to be spot on every time. But we live in the age of the Holy Spirit. Hooray! Hooray, thank you. We read the quotes from the prophet, or we read the quotes from the prophet Joel that Peter preached in his sermon in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was first poured out on the church. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. They will prophesy. The hallmark of the age of the Spirit is that now everyone can hear from God directly. Everybody gets access to that, and this is a great time to be alive. It's so much better than in the Old Testament. We can follow the Lord with the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to us daily, in a daily way. It's the best way. And that means the game has changed. If someone comes up and shares a word and they don't seem to get it quite right, I don't have to kill them on the spot. Now we get to hear together. We get to discern together, because we're not just reliant on hearing from one person. We can provide help for one another. That's the enormous safety net if we cooperate together. And it's called the rule of confirmation. The rule of confirmation. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, as we just read. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should sit quietly and weigh what is being said. And then if a revelation comes to the one sitting down, then the first should be quiet. In other words, prophecy should be done in teams. As in any one church, there should be several people who are gifted in hearing the supernatural voice of God. And it's good that we can help one another. We can check one another. We can balance one another. That we can backstop one another. And in a healthy church, that's how it's working. There's not just one person, but a bunch of people seeking the Lord together. That's fantastic. It means that we can get better. We can help one another and improve. That the seniors can help the juniors. That's lovely. That's the body of Christ working together. The accessibility of the Spirit means that we can listen together, confirming one another's revelations or not, as the case may be, and creating groups that can be led collectively by the Lord. Well, that was the approach that we as a church took in 2012, when we were looking then for God to guide us about the way forward, about the way that he wanted us to be his church, the way he wanted us to serve him in Lodge Moor. Now, of course, we're a Bible-believing church. Of course, Scripture is the foundation of our life here. But I asked folk then to pray into what was the specific direction, what was the specific shape of the ministry that the ministry of our church should go in. And lots of people, many of whom are still today, some who've since gone on to glory, took time to listen and had words from God. And they all seemed to come up with similar pictures and messages. Streams of water, pools of water, water full of light and life, water moving, bubbling over the rocks, water being taken and given, the energy, the life of the water, somehow flowing out to people beyond our four walls. Well, actually, six walls, that should be, shouldn't it? Life-giving water. So when so many folk were hearing similar things from God for us, that was confirmation that it was indeed the Lord speaking to us. And after we discussed this and worked it through with people and different teams in church, that was how we came up with our original church vision, Although these days you might call that more of a church mission statement rather than a vision statement. And we developed the three strands of the vision to help us to work that out. It was a coming together of a number of words from God to different people, confirmed by what each other was hearing, and also attesting by myself and others, the preachers and leaders team, the trustees, and eventually the whole church, about whether it was right. Is it consistent with what a number of folks are hearing from God? And is it consistent with what we read in Scripture? That's how we heard from God as a community for our church's direction and emphasis. There are three parts to receiving a word from the Lord. There's perceiving it, noticing that there's one there in the first place. Then there's interpreting it, because sometimes God speaks through pictures or through symbols, or mysteriously or partially, so we have to interpret it well. And then there's applying it to your life, using it well in your life, working it out. In relative terms, it's fairly simple to perceive a word from God, a revelation. It's harder to interpret it well, and it's harder still to apply it wisely to your life. And they need progressive levels of maturity to pull it off, progressive levels of faith and wisdom. So today, I'm just going to focus on perceiving a prophecy. How does the Lord speak to us? How do you hear that still small voice? How does the Lord speak to you? Well, best place to start, how did God speak to people in Scripture? Can anybody tell me, how did God speak to people in Scripture? Angels, thank you. Dreams, visions, yeah. Sorry? Still small voice. Yeah, okay. So where should we start with those? Oh, hang on, nobody said burning bush. It's in there. It's definitely in the Bible. If God puts a burning bush in your life, that would be awesome. God communicates in lots of different ways. If ever God puts a burning bush in front of you, make sure you call me. I want to be there. Right, the audible voice of God, I think Caro said. Now, Moses gets this on occasion, doesn't he? And also Jesus hears the voice from heaven. This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. They heard the audible voice of God. That's one way that God can speak to you, through an audible voice. Dreams, somebody said, another way. No, right, Bible trivia. Who was the most prolific of hearer of God through dreams in the Bible? Joseph, yes, but not he of the technical a dream code. It's actually Joseph, Jesus' father. He's got the most. Marry the girl, it'll be okay. You will call him Jesus. You've got to run to Egypt. It's time to come back now. Joseph was actually the person recorded most as hearing from God through dreams in Scripture. Jesus was brought up in a household where his father had prophetic dreams. Angels, somebody said. Angelic visitors. Now, hands up, how many of you think you have been visited by angels? Yeah, a few people. I could tell you some stories about this, but this is for another time. But that can happen. People can be visited by angels. Right, nobody mentioned disembodied hands writing on the wall. I don't know what my wife would make of that if I came in and there was writing all over the wall. Sorry, dear, it wasn't me, honestly. It was God. Anybody had that one yet? Talking donkeys. Hang on, somebody's pointing to somebody. Is that? Balaam's donkey. That's right. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, Balaam's donkey was spotted. Although I do know one or two people in this congregation who have told me that God has really spoken to them with a message of comfort through an animal. There are lots of different ways. Balaam's donkey. Balaam wouldn't do it right, so the Lord opened the mouth of his donkey and spoke through it. Sam is the biblical scholar in this church, isn't he? With this great variety of ways that God can speak to you, one of the challenges is simply to stay aware of how the Lord might be speaking. Now, you would think that some of these would be very obvious, wouldn't you? That if God spoke to you audibly, you wouldn't mistake that. You would know it was God. But you know, obviously not. Look at the boy Samuel. God spoke to him. Samuel, you know the story? He thought it was his guardian, Eli. He went over. What are you asking me? I didn't say anything. Go back to bed. Three times. And then eventually, Eli tweets it. Oh, hang on. Here's the thing. We're in the temple. Maybe God is speaking to you. And thus was launched one of the greatest biblical careers. When the Father spoke over Jesus at his baptism that we've been talking about in the previous week, the Bible says, but some people thought it was thunder. So some people can miss it. Even the audible voice of God, you can miss it. What about angels? If you were in the presence of an angel, you would realize it, wouldn't you? Well, Joshua didn't. He was on the plains and he saw someone. He went up to him and said, are you for the Lord's armies or for his enemies? And the angel answers, actually, neither. I'm the captain of the Lord's hosts. Oops. And Paul says, doesn't he? Many of us have entertained angels unbeknown to us through offering hospitality. A huge part of perceiving and prophecy is not about being technically masterful in any particular way, but just to notice the fine art of noticing. You would think that the Lord would speak more impressively, more attention-gettingly, but no, he doesn't. Satan typically shouts, God typically whispers. Why? Why does God do it like that? Because he wants to cultivate our attention. He doesn't want to just bowl you over and wear you down. So the first step to perceiving is to cultivate the art of noticing. You have to develop some attention during the presence of the Lord. You have to have an inner ear listening out for the voice of the Lord. Have you ever noticed, you can be at the playground where there's like lots of noise, 40 kids all playing, making noise, you're chatting with four or five other parents, and in the midst of that incredible din, you sometimes hear an owl, and it grabs your attention. That's because it's your child or your grandchild, and your ears are tuned in to hear their voice, so you can pick it out even in the midst of a din. You're tuned into that voice. And I would like to be that way with the Lord, so that if I was going through the din of my day and I hear the Lord cough to grab my attention, I would hear it and recognize it and say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. It makes sense that God wants us to cultivate a habit of attention to his voice. The difficulty is, if the Lord speaks so subtly, how do you know it is the Lord speaking to you? People ask me, what's it like to hear from the Lord? Well, for me, you know how if someone speaks to you, first of all, you hear it with your ears, and then the message is in your head, in your brain. Does that happen to anybody else? Or am I very strange? You hear with your ears, and then the idea, the knowledge of what they have said is in your mind, even after they've stopped speaking. Well, for a short time at least. Well, for me, hearing from God is like the second part of that without the first part. I think, oh, that's an interesting idea that's just popped into my head, which I wasn't thinking about. Is that you, Lord? And for me, if I'm honest, it's not so much when I'm praying with my list of people and things that I'm praying for. It tends to be at other rare times of quiet outside of that. Someone else here in church described it for them as like, it's a bit, they said, it's like a butterfly lands on your head, drops something in there, and then flies away. A thought, an idea, an impression, a feeling is just dropped in there, and then the agent of that thought, that impression disappears. But the thought has come in there, the gentle voice, the gentle communication of God. Okay, I've got a little drill for you all to do now. Everybody, close your eyes. No cheating. Okay, who is speaking to you now while you've got your eyes closed? Yeah, me. How do you know that? Because you know my voice. Okay, everybody, open your eyes. How do you know my voice? Because you've heard me droning on and on in numerous services in the past. The most that people will have known me is probably about 8 years for most people here. And you know my voice. How long have you known the Lord? We need to learn the skill of picking the Lord's voice out of the noise. Jesus says the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Why? Because the sheep hang out with the shepherd. Familiarity is what will help you know it's the Lord behind that thought, behind that voice. If we practice a lot, we'll start to know, yes, that is God's voice. There's no formula or shortcuts. It's about building a relationship. Now, there's more about this for home groups to discuss in the coming weeks. But I want to finish now with just a few guidelines about getting started. Right, number one, don't pray without listening. It's rude. It might sound obvious, but how often do we rattle through our things, say the Lord's Prayer, and on to the next thing? Don't pray without listening. It's rude. Practice together. If you're in a home group or a small group, pray in a circle and then listen for a time. And ask folk, did anyone hear or perceive anything from God in that time? Did anyone have a word for anyone else in the group? We can listen for each other and be the balance and the backstop if any of us gets it wrong, which we will do. Right, here's a good one. Make notes about your dreams. Keep a journal by your bed and write just one line about your dream in case it is something from God. And in time, you'll get the feel of what dreams come from the Lord and which come from lasagna. And then lastly, take action on what you think the Lord is saying to you. Try and try again. You'll never be 100% certain. If you were, then there would be no faith involved, no risk involved. We want everyone to understand Scripture, to have the skill of understanding Scripture, and we want people too to learn the skill of listening to the Lord, to hearing the shepherd's voice. Thank you.
As we look